And so look at your Bible in Exodus 27. Exodus 27, and this morning's text was a wonderful, powerful message that I experienced this week. As I read and I studied and I prayed over the story of Aaron and how God is using Aaron while simultaneously preparing Aaron, it is a message of reflection. And so if you are a believer this morning, I pray that you stop and just reflect on your life and praise God and see the story of how God, in all of His salvation and grace and mercy and sovereignty, how He has worked in your life, but then also how He prepares you for the future. This morning is a message on reflection. And so usually during the last few weeks, especially last week, we have started with so many verses. I think we had like 37 verses last week of all the measurements and all the directions. And I said, hey, you know what? Instead of doing that, I'm going to get my brother, Doc. He's going to read the directions for you. And so he came up here. I said, you read them, brother. And so he got up here and did a wonderful job. And him standing before you is a great example of what we're going to talk about this morning. But we just have a few texts that is just as powerful. So look at verses 20 through 21 in God's word in Exodus. It says, "And so you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of meeting outside the veil which is before the testimony." Now will you highlight this on? Aaron and his sons shall tend to it from evening until morning before the Lord. And it shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. Let's bow our heads and pray for our time this morning. God, we thank you for today. Rain or sunshine, Lord, if we are preaching from that hill or we are inside these walls, Lord, we give you all of the praise, all of the worship. We thank you for your church. We thank you for the blessings of life, the gift of your cross, the beauty of your Son, the salvation through the blood. We thank you for the reason that we come and that we sing. This is greater than any game. This is greater than any moment in life. This is greater than any festival. This is God's church where we come together and we come together for one purpose. And that is much to make much of you and little of us. And we give you all of the thanks this morning. As we come together this morning, I pray that you remove all distractions, that you allow our hearts and our minds to feast on your word, that we grow closer to the Spirit in you before as we come, more as we leave. In your precious and holy name, the church says in harmony, amen. It says, Aaron and his sons shall tend to it from evening until morning before the Lord. So 10 months. I think most people in this room know where we're at and know where we've been. I don't think we have a visitor here for the first time. So you know that we've been in Exodus for 10 months, 27 chapters in, and God has been good to us. God has been good to us, and in God's goodness in this book, in 10 months and 27 chapters, I pray that you have seen themes. I pray that you've seen patterns and messages. And your themes and patterns and messages might be a little different than mine, but when it comes to talking to people about what you've learned in Exodus, your mind needs to grab to certain themes for you to be able to communicate what God has placed on your heart and what has made sense. And so a few themes that have stuck out to me is one, foremost, is God's sovereignty. And so what we see from Chapter 1, verse 1, when I asked the question week 1 in January, the first question I asked you guys is why are the people of God in Egypt in the first place? And we connected that back to Genesis. And we connected it back to that family that we saw in Joseph and his brothers. And then we led to Exodus. And we see that all in the midst of Exodus and God's plan, that God was always in control of all of it. From the moment that Moses was born, from the moment Moses was tossed into the river, in the moment of the plagues, in the Red Sea, in the midst of the wilderness, in the tabernacle, God had a plan and God was in control of all of it. And so one theme that I need you to see in Exodus is that what applied to their life applies to ours, and that God has a plan for today. And the goodness of God is that He also holds tomorrow. There has never been a moment in Exodus and in your life and mine that God is ever on the defense. There is never a moment that God doesn't see what is coming or plan what has come. God is in control, and what we see in Exodus is that He is sovereign over all things. Is that a theme that you have seen in this book? Also, a theme that sticks out to me is the obvious gospel connection in Exodus and how the Old Testament gives weight and power to the New. We've talked a lot about that in the last 3 months in the Ten Commandments and the Book of the Covenant. And so what we see in Exodus is this idea that you and I, we can relate to the people of God in Egypt, that you and I also were former slaves, and you and I also were saved by God's grace and mercy, that we were slaves to our sin. And now, as my brother Brent said, we are free to live and we can relate. We also see all of the correlation that we see in the Passover in the Old Testament has now become the what? The Lord's Supper. We see that the lamb that was given to charge to bring forth to God in the Old Testament is now Christ. He is the perfect substitute. We see last week that the altar in the tabernacle still exists between man and fellowship with God, but it has changed forms and now is the shape of the cross. We see that the law is still intact, but now it is changed in the New Testament in our life today, and that it is satisfied through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so what we see is these themes that stick out to us. We see God's sovereignty in Exodus. We see the obvious gospel in Exodus. And throughout all of it, we have seen God's perfect parenting. Maybe that is one thing that has stood out to you. All those weeks in the Book of the Covenant and the Ten Commandments, what we saw is that God was perfectly parenting His children. We saw discipleship, we saw order, we saw creation, we saw encouragement, we saw discipline. And so if you look at what God was doing in Exodus, if you've been paying attention, what has God been doing? Because He does it in our life as well. He has been building up, He has been growing, He has been sanctifying, He has been maturing, He has been preparing His children. He does the same today. And so this week's text gives us all of those themes really wrapped up in one. And so in all of the measurements and all of the verses and all of the details that my brother Doc was reading to you beforehand, in all of those verses, we see the outcome in this moment in the life of Aaron about how God uses while simultaneously prepares for ministry. Look at 28, just verse 1. It says, "Now take Aaron." Who's Aaron, church? Moses' brother. "Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him. From among the children of Israel, all of those hundreds of thousands," God says, "remove Aaron from them and his children, that he may minister to me as a priest." Aaron and Aaron's sons. So when I say Aaron, what do you remember? What do you think of? And so most of our minds just simply go back to Exodus 6 and 7, and we say Aaron is just a supporting cast member. There's nothing special about Aaron. Aaron's not Moses. He's just this supporting character in the midst of this huge story of God using Moses, right? He's the brother of Moses. He is a support role. What is Aaron's role? He is the mouthpiece of Moses. He is the translator. Because if you remember chapter 6 and 7, when Moses was kicking sand and frustrated and debating and arguing with God, one of his biggest arguments was, God, I can't do this. You know I can't talk well. I'm an older man. They're not going to listen to me. And if they do listen to me, they're going to remember who I am, and they're going to remember that I'm a murderer. Do you remember all that? How could I say these things, especially to this many people when I've been gone for that long? You want me to stand before Pharaoh, and what does God bless Moses with? A translator. He says, not only am I going to give you a mouthpiece, he's going to be someone you know really well. He's going to be your brother. So you don't have to flip. Just listen to the words. This is the origin story. In chapter 6 and 7, it says, but Moses said to the Lord, this is in all the arguments, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh heed me? How can I do this, God? So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron, your brother, shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. I want you to understand the moment, because sometimes we forget who Aaron is and what he did. Aaron stood before Pharaoh, the most powerful man in existence, and he spoke bold words. And so for so many of us, all we think of is Moses, but the reality of the story is Aaron was the man most of the time who stood between the people of God and Pharaoh. He was the one talking. Aaron had those moments. Aaron witnessed the plagues. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? I know we're far removed from that part of the story, but can you imagine what that would do to your faith? Can you imagine if you saw all the plagues happen right before you? Aaron saw all of it. All of the fear and all of the disaster and all of the correction and all of the mercy. He witnessed and experienced all of it. He witnessed the Red Sea part and he witnessed the Red Sea fall back. In chapter 17, Aaron was the one, as Moses prayed to God and was called not to drop his hands, who held his hands up? It was his brother Aaron. Aaron helped hundreds of thousands of people into freedom. In the last few months, as Moses goes up and down, up and down, up and down the mountain, who was given authority to help lead the people in Moses' absence? It was Aaron. Aaron's role in the story of Exodus is so much bigger than just simply a supporting cast member or his brother's translator. God was using Aaron to be faithful and obedient in each and every circumstance. But this is what I want you to see, and this is what we need to reflect on. Not only was God using Aaron to be the mouthpiece and to be the support and to hold the hands up and to pray when needed and to speak with the people and help lead and say the words to Pharaoh, he was not only using Aaron, he was preparing Aaron. 20 chapters later, church, 20 chapters later, the people are free. And now Aaron is ready to shepherd them. Do you see this? This is not just simply, think about your life. I told you to highlight. This is not just simply, hey, go grab your brother. He's the best one to say yes. No. Aaron was groomed for this. Aaron was ready for this. Why? Because God had prepared him for it. God causes and uses Aaron for the day while simultaneously preparing him for tomorrow. All honestly without Aaron's even knowledge of what God was doing in his life. All that Aaron was called to do was to be faithful with what stood before him. But not only was he obedient in the moment, God was preparing him for the future and what he had planned for him. The same applies to our life today. It says, Aaron and his son shall be made to tend to evening until morning before the Lord. The lampstand, keep it bright, is a picture of the church. And so what is God calling Aaron to do in this new calling in his life? Is to keep the light burning. what is Aaron called to do? He's not called to hold the hands up of Moses anymore. He's not called to talk to Pharaoh. His calling, think about your life, his calling has changed. So God calls Aaron to be a high priest. And this is a good little fun fact, the first one. So in that role of high priest, the very first high priest to ever be called is Aaron. He would have a long line of priests that would come out of his existence and faithfulness, ups and downs. And so what would a high priest do? I want you to think of the weight and heaviness. If you think that your phone rings a lot, for you guys that are supervisors and bosses and church leaders and parents, and you go, man, someone is always calling me. They were calling Aaron more than you. And so the people could not go to God for themselves. Who did they have to go to? They had to come to Aaron. Can you imagine everyone, hundreds of thousands of people coming to you with the heaviest aspect of their life? There was never, you know, on Wednesday night when we go, hey, who has a prayer request? And not many people speak up. Many people spoke up. Because they knew that this wasn't just some Bible study that the pastor was going to pray for. No. Aaron was going before God. Saying, can you imagine the heaviness that would be placed on this man? Save my marriage. My child is dying. I am sick and I am lost and I need help. Can you imagine the heaviness and the weight of being a high priest? And then to take all of that weight and go before God with it. Can you imagine such a responsibility? Hang on it. A responsibility that God was preparing him well in advance for. Even without his knowledge. And so Aaron stood in this place where he said, all of the people are going to bring me their prayers, all of their needs, all of their distortions, all of their fear, all of their emotions. They're going to bring it all to me. And I'm going to stand before God. How could one man be prepared for such a thing? One, it's not possible. But through Christ and God, he has made it possible by his sovereignty of preparing this man to be in that role. In the life of Aaron, we see God's great sovereignty and then also perfect parenting. But we also see the theme of God using the old to give weight and life to the new. Aaron had no idea what God had in store in Exodus 6. You see that? Aaron had no idea what God had in store in Exodus 6. Aaron did not know what those moments of the plagues would look like. Aaron did not know what all of those moments at the water edge of Pharaoh would feel like. Aaron did not know or anticipate what hundreds of thousands of people walking out of it. He did not know that what that would look like. He did not anticipate Mount Sinai. He did not guesstimate the idea of the Red Sea. He was not ready for any of it. What did Aaron know? God called me to speak for my brother. God was preparing him for tomorrow and calling him to faith in the day. As I said, this is a great reflection text. You and I should all look back, not just about how God calls us to ministry, but even salvation. So in your past life, when you were lost, I want you to think back about how God was using different people in your life and how God was bringing you to repentance. Your salvation is not a moment where you got wise or something made sense to you because you started studying in such a way. No. God made what was used to be blank to you now come to life. You were blind, now you can see because God stepped forward in your life. But I want you to look back on your life and go, man, I can see what God was doing. I can see my parents and I can see my friends. I can see all of that disaster in my life. And then also all those wonderful moments in my life where God was bringing me to this place of salvation. But not just salvation, but also ministry. When I say ministry, I don't mean that you're a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. We are all called to the Great Commission and called to be faithful about spreading the word of Jesus Christ in our words, teaching, and service. All of you are in ministry if you are born again. And so no matter where you are on that path, I want you to look back and just realize how God has been in control and preparing that space for you to be faithful. You know, there was a day where the idea of me teaching a Sunday school class was not just simply overwhelming, but unattractive to me in every way. My story, in which I've shared with you guys many times, it started in Camden, Tennessee. I was at a church where I was baptized. My father-in-law was the pastor, and I'm sitting there with my wife, and there was a moment where I knew that the middle school / high school of six young people needed a teacher, and please hear me, church, I had zero desire to be that teacher. I don't know if you know, but Camden is not Huntington. It's 30 minutes away. I don't know if you realize, but it takes time to serve. It takes time to teach. It takes time to prepare. And that was not something I had any desire to do. But I knew that God was calling me to this space. So I said yes. I felt led to say yes to six high school and middle schoolers. God called me to be faithful to loving them and teaching those six. Now, I want you to understand, when God called me that night to be faithful in teaching that class, that I was really not really wanting or willing or desired, but I felt the call to say yes, I was being prepared for the ministry today. In that moment, God knew His plans for me, but in that moment, I wasn't prepared for them all. In that moment, many years ago, I was not prepared to preach. I was not prepared to teach adults. I was not prepared to stand among you. I was not prepared to lead people on mission trips. I was not prepared for leadership, especially within the church. I was not prepared for Eastview. I would have destroyed this church. I was barely ready for six. And in that, God used me in the six because He wanted me there, but He also was preparing me for many more. And so I looked at Doc up here, and he was reading, and that blessed me. But there was a moment where God called Doc just to be faithful in coming to church. Just come. Be faithful in your presence. And then he continued to work in Doc's life. I want you to read. I want you to pour into your children. I want you to pray with your wife. I want you to lead by example. And then it comes. Doc, I want you to read God's perfect word in the midst of people. This is the call to faithfulness today, Doc. And what God is using Doc in today will also prepare him for something else later. Do you see God preparing ministry in your life? Do you see how God is using you and how He has used you while simultaneously preparing you? And now I wonder what the future holds. I wonder what the future holds. For you that are growing and you're being obedient and you're being faithful, I think about our kids. Because what does God's word says? He says, not only am I calling Aaron, but I'm calling what? His sons. So for our young people, you're praying amongst the church. You're learning in the midst of the body. While God is calling you for the day, He is preparing you for tomorrow. Do you see it? Do you see God's sovereignty in the gospel in your past that has led to today and prepares you for tomorrow? And so Ephesians 2, you don't have to flip. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, it says, "For the grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone boast for it." Hang. "For we are His workmanship." We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared, what's the word, if you know it by heart, beforehand, that we shall walk in them. God not only has a plan for today, but He holds tomorrow in your life. Everything in your past is God's plan for the present, and everything today will be a preparation for tomorrow. What are you and I called to do? We are called to be obedient and faithful with what stands before us, and then excited about the unknown. And so I think about all my school teachers in this sanctuary, all those that God placed a love of teaching others. And you started, you went to school and you went to college and you started teaching and you started learning how to speak and often crafting certain messages for young people to hear, and you have a heart for it. Or I think about my coaches who know how to instruct other people, my educators of any type. And God was even just using those gifts in that life to bring you to the body, maybe even your own children, to pour into them with the gifts that God gave you that you just thought was going to be your profession. I think even within the body, that call, like I said, with Doc, just to be present. Come to church. Have your Bible open. Sing and give. Serve. Where God will just use the simple, faithful calling of being present within the body to prepare you to one day lead that body. I love the story Brad Douglas often tells. Brad's with us. There's Brad. Brad had a moment years and years ago. I always tell people it's hard to find anybody that loves this church more than Brad Douglas, right? He's been here. He was one of the 20 when I got here. And there was a day where Brad said, you know what, I feel like I want to teach Sunday school. And there was even like a laugh amongst some going, hey, Brad, that's a ridiculous thought. And then what class did Brad teach? Brad taught the all women's class because that was the biggest need. And I was like, what is Brad doing teaching the all women's class? And then Brad and Amber would lead young people in the youth group on trips and teaching the young people. And God was using, like, this is my errand. He is the mouthpiece. This is the need. Be faithful, Brad. But all the while preparing him for greater ministry in the future. Aaron did not just stumble upon this opportunity. God was preparing him well before he was even born. God is working. Be faithful what is in front of you and be excited for what's to come. So right now, as we come to a close, I said this is a message of reflection. We are called to praise God as we reflect on how the same story applies to our salvation. I did not stumble upon the gospel. The gospel was given to me well in advance. And I have to look back on my life, all of the ups and all of the downs, all of my sin, all of my brokenness, and how God was planting to bring me forward to see His goodness. And we're called to worship in that. In all of my foolishness, in all of my brokenness, God was planning a moment to bring me to repentance while also preparing me for ministry. And this idea of ministry, of where you're at today, and you go, Hunter, you know, I can't imagine. I can't imagine teaching a Sunday school class. Do you think in Exodus 6, Aaron would ever imagine that he would be the first high priest of the Old Testament? What was Aaron called to do? Just be faithful speaking for your brother. And God used that faith. God used that obedience. And He prepared a path where God, where Aaron would continue to be used for His great plan. So I would love you to pray here. I would love you to pray as we close in service. God, what are you doing in my life now? What are you doing? The game's over. I don't know why the Sports Center thing is going off. The game's over. What are you doing in my life now? Do you see it, church? Do you see what God is calling you to? I would love for you to reflect. I would love for you to talk to me about it. I would love for you to pull some of these women and men aside and talk to them about what you see God doing, what He's called you to today, and what He's preparing you for tomorrow. Pray, God, make it clear to me. Make it clear to me. But more than anything, I want you to thank God for how God planned far in advance the gospel to make sense to you. It is not by flesh and bone, by the God who lives before you. This is the only way to salvation through what Christ has accomplished for you and I. What has God prepared for your future through the faith calling of today? Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for today. I thank you for having a plan for my life, God. I thank you for loving me, showing your kindness and mercy and grace and sending your Son, not for anything that I have done or who I am, but because you have a plan for my life. I thank you for this. Lord, I pray that all of us in this room are able to stand before you and say that we were faithful servants to the plan that you have in our life, Lord. I pray that you make clear what you are calling us to. I know that you have a plan for each one that you call yours. So, Lord, I pray that you make it clear to us, and I pray that we're faithful in it. Let us be excited for the future. How not only do you call us to something today, but you're preparing us for something tomorrow. I pray that as a church, we're excited for that, that we see it in our past. When we look at today, we thank you for the ups. We thank you for the downs. We thank you for the people who have walked in the midst of us, leading us to this point, Lord. I thank you for your way, your plan, your sovereignty. I thank you for it. In your precious and in your holy name, the church says in harmony, amen.